Hi, I'm Lynn Suzek. I'm back with His Ability. Thanks for joining me again today. I've got two people on with me today, John Santala. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thanks, Lynn. It's good to be here.
And I've got my daughter, Bethany, with me today. Hi, Bethany.
Hi again.
We are going to be a three-panel view today. I've got some discussion that I'd like to have, and it's always interesting to have several people in on that discussion to have our audience listen in on. What I want to talk about today, I was listening to the news, you guys. Mm-hmm. You heard about the Massachusetts situation with the 17 girls.
Yeah.
John, you have some family members
in
Massachusetts? Really?
They're in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Oh, my goodness.
They are right there. They are older, so none of them were in the school. What
coincidence?
My mom freaked out when she saw it. She mainly called me. She's like, did you see this? All of our relatives are in Gloucester.
Oh, and no family members involved, I hope.
No, none.
Any friends of family members?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Thank God.
Well, the situation, just to review what it is 17 high school girls in Massachusetts, 16 years old, were said to have made a pregnancy pact. Whether it was a pact or not, it doesn't really matter. They all became pregnant relatively at the same time. Two, supposedly, they needed a sense of purpose in their life, and they wanted to raise their children together.
Mm. Whoa.
You know?
Yeah.
And something, you know, just the stories never stop, like something you just never would think would happen.
No.
You know, what are they, you know, they're just coming up with new ways to have excitement in their life.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I'm sure you could, you know, being that young, you can justify, well, it's better than being on drugs or, you know, doing some of the crazy things that kids do. But it's a different way of being in throwing yourself into a situation that causes purpose, I guess. What I wanted to talk about was the fact that, you know, people are really desperate for purpose in their life, right? Especially when you're young, looking for something to do, something, I don't know why they're not thinking about their careers in college, why they would go to such drastic measures to create a new direction in their life. But I know that being in the handicapped community myself, and disabled people, injured, elderly people, they do tend to lose their sense of purpose, you know. Mm-hmm. They can become, you know, people can become so disabled that, well, they can no longer work. Sometimes they're in bed a lot. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe you're recovering from injury, and you don't know what you're going to do with your life now, so you don't know what your purpose is, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think this this should not actually be something that should happen in the life of a Christian, because God has purpose for everyone. But mm-hmm. That's what I want to talk about. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Mm-hmm. And God has a plan for all of us, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Yes.
Now, no matter what your situation, I was, well, first of all, back to the pregnancy situation. Mm-hmm. You know, Bethany, being 4 years out of high school yourself, can you imagine any reason why? Why would you think a teenager would go to such drastic measures?
Well, when you're in high school and a teenager, it's easy for you to get lost in the whole idea of, you know, nobody loves me and I'm only worth something to certain people, or maybe there are a lot of kids that don't feel like they have anybody that loves them unconditionally. And when you have a child, that's automatic love right there for you. So
it's kind of like a club, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe a pregnancy club.
Doing it together makes it more, you know, oh, I'm not alone in this, so it won't be so bad. There's 17 of them. It's just, I don't know. I could see the whole wanting something to love me that much being a good enough reason, but at the same time, you're 16, you really don't know what that's about yet, so it's
They come up with all kinds of clubs, I know. What are some of the things that you saw in high school? I mean, there's the gay crowd. I mean, mm-hmm. that's becoming more and more nowadays than when I was in high school. There's, you know, finding acceptance and being homosexual, unfortunately. We have people that as early as high school turn it, I don't know, what is that, where they have black hair, black eye makeup?
It's goth.
Goth. Yeah. G-O-T-H. What does it mean?
It depends. There's like levels of it or something. It's like the certain people are goth and they listen to like devil music and, you know, they basically all want
oriented,
attention. Yeah, death oriented. And then there's some that are just like slightly that way where, again, I think, in my opinion, it's about attention, but at the same time, maybe people, you know, like that look and the same, you know, but it's all to fit into something.
Let me ask you, do you think that the possible that these could be stages of them trying to find their identity?
Mm-hmm.
They're confused.
Mm-hmm. And I think it is very confused, yes.
Yeah, very confused.
I don't see where I get it, but well, I think they all fit in that little group and they're happy with that. And so if you can fit in somewhere, that's more important than morals or what you look like. Mm-hmm. So
my son Adam, we were talking at dinner the other day, and he was mentioning how each person in high school goes through, they may all go through a period of rejection. And mm-hmm. so you find some club, some group that you feel comfortable, hey, I could fit in there. Mm-hmm. I don't care how weird it is, mm-hmm. as long as I'm accepted. And right. So whether it's sports or music, sometimes they get a band going. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, sometimes kids, they give up on the being accepted by the popular crowd or mm-hmm. What should be normal.
And then you get the kids that go the other way and just want to be completely obnoxious, and they know that they're rejected, so they're making it a point to let you know that they understand, but then they're still accepted somewhere. So mm-hmm. it's like there's never people who say, oh, I'm just doing this because I don't care what people think of me. Yes, you do.
Kinda
because
like
there's five other people around you doing
everyone
that.
Cares.
Everyone needs to be accepted.
Everybody looks for it.
And they're looking for mm-hmm. acceptance in the wrong things. When we're created to be accepted by God and to feel that acceptance. And we as Christians know that we are accepted because Jesus was rejected for us.
Mm-hmm.
He was rejected once for all mankind. And, you know, on the cross, he felt the rejection and every curse that is possible was placed upon him, so that if we submit our lives to him, if we turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness of our sins, we put all that rejection on him and he takes it from us. Mm-hmm. We can willingly give that to him, and then we can experience the acceptance that he offers, that God offers, and we can feel and just, you know, walk around with a cloud of acceptance and love that we are constantly drawing from. We don't need to look to these other ways to gain our sense of identity. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an identity in Christ. So,
which then goes back to purpose.
It gives you that purpose that we're all looking for. We as humans are looking for purpose, and I think that it's just amazing that people that are walking around and have their full capacity for life. You know, it's a shame that they kind of take a turn in desperation to do such odd things. But, you know, the root of it all is for trying to find that purpose.
Right.
So my point today is, I know that a lot of people that lose their sense of purpose in being disabled or elderly or shut in for whatever reason, I just wanted to share about how many things got open in my life that have given me so much purpose. I mean, I have enough purpose for 5 or 10 lives, you know. I
that's wonderful.
I thank God that, you know, he's got so many things going on in my life, and it's very exciting, and I'm just kind of trying to keep up with God, you mm-hmm. know. And it's really due to nothing that I did. I didn't, like, you know, try to find all these purposes in my life. He did it for me. I was already a Christian when I had my accident in 1985, and becoming disabled for the past 23 years. You know, I already had my plans, you know, what I wanted to do with my life, but those plans stopped, and I had to just completely say, okay, what are you doing with my life, Lord? And I just took one thing that happened at a time and worked with it and said, okay, I can do that. You know, if you open the door for me, I'll walk through it. So the first thing that I did is accept being pregnant with Bethany. we as a
Thank
Christian
you.
Couple.
It's wonderful.
Oh my goodness,
it's a good purpose.
It's just, and you know what? I mean, the pregnancies in my, you know, I was married. I didn't do it on purpose, but I allowed it to happen. You know, some people don't. They feel scared because they're handicapped, and they prevent that from happening. And I had, you know, of course, I always had to tell the first doctor that I came to, ask me if I wanted to keep the baby. And
are you serious?
You know, it happens to everybody.
That is ridiculous.
It's terrible.
I can't believe that. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I quickly got rid of him.
Yes. And, bye-bye.
You know. And
again, thank you.
Yes, once again.
And she was just the joy of our lives. You know, mm-hmm. we had this. It just took the distraction. It distracted us from the state that we were in. My husband and I, having me be disabled so quickly right after our wedding, and you know, within the first year, as I was becoming adapted to my new disability.
Right.
You know, it's not the smartest thing in the world to become pregnant right away, but my choices were limited because I wasn't going to do anything to physically limit myself, and different forms of birth control were not good for me. So I just allowed God to do what he was going to do. In fact, some people, you know, wondered if I could have children at all. So right. We were surprised, but 8 months later, I was pregnant, and it just brought such joy to the whole family, you know.
I bet it did.
And of course, watching her grow up, and you know, I was disappointed I couldn't do a lot of things, but I could do so much, you know.
So much you could do.
And we just, you know, just it just God does bring joy to your life with pregnancy at the right time.
Did it help with your healing too?
You know, it was funny, John, because I had 5 children, and with every pregnancy, the doctors just shook their head and said, "You just seem to be getting better with every pregnancy."
That's wonderful.
God was
That's
healing
it.
Me. And instead of it dragging me down, I was improving. So that was the first thing I said yes to in my life. And, you know, 5 children later, I'm still a mother of 5. And and I actually have many other things that have happened. And I want to talk about that on the next program.
We will do.
So although pregnancy is a good thing, we want to make sure you do it at the right time. And we pray that anyone listening would consider, you know, finding out the first, just letting God guide your life, you know, mm-hmm. and staying within God's guidelines where marriage would come first. Thanks for joining me, both of you, John
Thank
and Bethany.
You, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. We'll see you next week.
It's been an interesting show. Thanks for, we'll see you next week.
All right.